All right. Hello, everybody. It is Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. It is 8:15 in the p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the Fakeologist Show. We do this show Sunday to Thursday around 8 p.m. And we come to you from the north shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For all of my American friends and others around the world, the actual provincial name is Ontario, but I've renamed it Ontario since it is the center of the COVIDian cult in Canada, and Toronto is ground zero for the COVIDians who are helping to orchestrate a worldwide takeover and very subtly started World War III back on 3/11/2020, which is another magical date. And today is a different show because I have a guest, and quite often my guests are not necessarily the guests you might think I would get, but because I do lots of research all day long, I do listen to many different podcasts, and occasionally I'm so impressed with a guest that I actually think I can get the guest on the show to discuss what he was trying to say or what the hosts of the show I was listening to were trying to get out of the guest. And if I'm unsatisfied, then I will try and get the guest on. But normally I'll just talk about it third party. But this time I decided to reach out to a guest. And I talked about it on last night's show at the end. If you are listening to FAK 429, I did at the end of the show bring it up because it was one of the topics that I posted on my blog. So I'm going to get right to it and introduce my guest now. His name is Brandon Wainwright, and he was a guest on the Humble and Fred show or the Fumble and Dread show. I'll just say hi to Brandon right now, and I'll give him some history, and because we haven't really done much preamble talk, so we'll get right to it. So how you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I reached out to you because, okay, now let me give some background because you know nothing about me. And I was I was a random email. I just found your website, even though they didn't drop the website on their show. I did a quick search and found it was pretty easy.
They didn't put it on their webpage?
Well, I don't know where. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, because they don't have, even though they have a pretty adept social media manager now, I went on the webpage to find that show, and it wasn't there. So then I had to go on Feces Book or Facebook, and I found it over there because I usually just listen to podcasts. So I had to find it, and then they didn't really give your website, which I will drop right now to everyone, and it is called TysonsGift.com. Now, that's not the chicken magnet, I don't think.
No.
You're not... You didn't name it after one of the biggest chicken slaughterhouses in the world, Tyson Foods, but it's TysonsGift.com, and that's a book about how an 8-pound canine became a man's greatest spiritual guide. Actually, it's a pretty cool cover on the book. I'm showing it now on my live stream. But you went on this show under the premise of promoting the book.
Yeah, that was what the show was supposed to be. I think that was their intent too, initially, until I made the mistake of mentioning that I am moving out of California to get away from the vaccine mandates. And then I found out that they were hostile towards my kind, to say the least.
Well, one of the reasons I listened to their show, just like I used to listen to Howard Stern back in the day, back when we used this old-fashioned thing called a radio, AM, FM radio.
And I used to listen to him a lot, too. Yeah. I loved him, actually.
I loved Howard Stern because he proclaimed himself the king of all radio, and I knew about him in the 80s, but, of course, he wasn't near enough to Canada for me to hear, and I occasionally, if I ever got near the border, I could listen to him. But like many people who listen to Howard Stern that hated him, they listened to Howard Stern because they actually hated him, and they wanted to find something they didn't like and complain about it. And he always acknowledged that, and I thought it was really a really smart move.
Yeah, absolutely smart. I yeah.
So that's the same reason I listened to Humble and Fred, Because
my wife and I actually today we were talking about it while we were driving around looking for houses. I thought, God, he must be a masochist. And, you know, if that's how what they're like, and he hates it that much, then why would he want to, you know, put himself through that every day?
Well, my wife says the same thing, and my children say the same thing. So why do you listen to it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I used to. There's so many reasons. I used to listen to them on the old-fashioned radio a little bit. And then they got into podcasting. And back 10 years ago, when podcasting was starting to get going, there really weren't too many smart people doing podcasts. So they started doing a podcast 10 years ago. And I thought, well, finally, a local podcast to Toronto. So there's going to be a little bit of crossover interest for me, because obviously I'm from Toronto. People like to hear about where they're from. So I started listening. And then maybe a few years in, Howard started talking about 9/11. And the whole reason I started my blog was to expose and to help people understand the psychological operation that was 9/11. So that was really my interest. And then he had a bit of interest in conspiracy, which is what I started to specialize in 2012. And then we started connecting. I had him on my show, Howard, the guy that looks like Beaker. I had him on my show just to talk about 9/11, because that was the central thesis of my show. And he wasn't bad. He's sort of halfway along. I tried to get him all the way along to where I'm thinking, and he wouldn't bite. So he's a conspiracy dabbler. And then, of course, the COVID takeover started last year. So then I was pretty sure I knew which way he was going to fall on that one, and he did. He fell hard for the cult side. So now I just listen to him berate people like me, and because it's really insightful, and I think it's really important, and that's really going to be the whole point of tonight's show. It's really important to understand the majority mindset that is being taken over right now, and that they're in what I call a mass formation. And because they're now the enemy, we got to know the enemy, because they're going to crush us as the minority. Even though we could be 49%, they're still going to try and crush us and or kill us if this keeps going.
I personally think there's a reckoning coming, and sooner than later. I think there is a mass hysteria going, for sure. And where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, you know, I would say I'm a very small minority of the people that feel as strongly as I do about it, but they're out there. Like, you know, I'm a police officer. So, and I work for a medium sized apartment. So it's, you know, 70 officers. It's not real big, but in my department alone, there's at least 3 officers that are leaving because of it. And I would say potentially at least 2 or 3 more. Maybe cops tend to be a little bit more proactive about this stuff, because we do actually value the law and value rights, and certainly more than the mainstream media would have you believe. But it is disturbing. You know, I talk to people all the time about it. I'm pretty outspoken. I tend to process things verbally. And so I'm talking to people about things all the time. And I would say most people in the San Francisco Bay Area, which, as you know, is hardcore left, they believe the vast majority of them are sort of neutral, on the fence about it, but very few of them actually think that there should be a mandate. They don't think it's right that people are being forced to get the vaccine. They don't feel strongly enough about it to fight it themselves, though. You know, they're still willing to get it, and you know, they respect me for what I'm doing, but they don't. They're kind of just neutral about it. Whereas one of the things down here in Florida, you know, we spent the day looking for houses. We looked at a school for my daughter, and everywhere I went, I made some kind of snide comment, you know, about the vaccines and stuff. And everybody I talked to a person, everybody was very sympathetic to my situation, leaving to get away from the mandates. Yeah. And so I think it really depends on where you are. You know, in Florida, I think most people really are into the whole freedom thing. And in California, I think I think most people are in favor of freedom, but they're going along to get along. They haven't reached that precipice of destruction yet, you know, that tipping point. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've watched the hardcore lefty policies destroy the area over the years.
Right.
And I was, you know, being a cop, I'm kind of on the front line. I see a lot of the impact of it, you know.
Sure.
And I see why it's happening, and it's clear as day to me, just on a day-to-day basis, knowing the justice system the way I do. Not that I'm an expert or anything, but I see it. I actually have contact with it. So I was already pretty fed up.
Yeah, of course.
I love it there. The weather's amazing. Mm-hmm. Great landscape. It used to be a wonderful place to live. Very, very diverse and accepting of all backgrounds. And now, you know, it's at that point where not only are they forcing you to put some chemical into your body, but they're, you know, like I have to admit I am a white man. I'm a white man police officer, and I live in the Bay Area, and you know, basically it's not a good place to be if you're a white man. So, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Because one of my regular listeners says, "Let Brandon talk." Because I have.
Oh, I saw that. I saw a reload thing, so I was worried that maybe I had done something.
No, you're good. So that is one of my faults, and even my wife, Mrs. Fakeologist, criticized me, saying, "Hey, let the guest talk." And I do, but I wanted to, because you know nothing about me. I know everything about you, so I had to give a preamble so you had a clue who you were talking to.
No, now, all good, man. I was just,
yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to just having a conversation with you. So,
yeah, so now you know where I come from, and I'm not even going to get into all my beliefs in the conspiracy community, because it's not really the point, because I really want to just maybe dissect some of their show, and because I really want to give people on our side, because I think we're on the same side of this COVID cult takeover, even though there's so many aspects to it. There's no way we could possibly believe all the same things because it's so complex. It's so big. But I wanted to give people on our side some pointers how to deal with the people on their side, because those guys are not evil people, but they are fully on board, and we have to deal with them. Because the schism in society is right down to the household.
Yeah.
So we can't just all hang out in the same town, because every town is split down whatever percentage everywhere. Right. Again, right down to it's affecting marriages. If you and your wife are not on the same page on this, it will lead to divorce.
I'm really lucky in that regard. Yeah. My wife is, you know, she's we're on the same page on this stuff. So, and we, you know, we're both like giving up everything that we've worked for in order to leave. You know, I'm leaving 40% of my pension on the table in order to leave.
That's huge.
And she's leaving a situation where she's earning a killing.
Oh wow!
You know, putting into her 401k, and our retirement would have been much, much bigger. But you know, we feel it's more important to protect our health than that of our daughter. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I haven't got into that situation yet, but it's coming for all of us. I work in the transportation business. So far, they're leaving us alone where I work, but most of us work for big corporations. Even though we're sort of in my business, we're mainly, many of us are independent contractors, but we contract with a big corporation, and we know how that's going, where they're just pushing it from the top down. The bigger the corporation, the more likely they are to be complicit, because they're federally regulated, and they just,
it's incredible though. Like the United States Postal Service, they're not allowed. They're not required to get the vaccine.
Not yet. So, like everything to me is not yet.
But all the other federal workers are. And I think the reason for that is because, you know, it just goes to show you, they, you know, they don't want to shut down commerce. They don't want to shut down. I mean, having a bunch of people leave the Postal Service would create a lot of problems. And, you know, they're not willing to do that because it would screw with their lives.
Maybe. This is, in my estimation, this is a minimum 10-year plan. We're only in year two. And it's going differently in different countries, but the end game is the same for every country. And when this started off, I said that the biggest nut to crack will be the United States because of their decentralized nature. It's really 50 different countries in a republic. And you guys will be the hardest nut to crack. Places like Canada, where I live, we're British loyalists. This is an Anglo-American British takeover, the same elite of Europe that have been running the show for a long time through proxies are behind it. But there's certain nations that are way more compliant than others, and Canada's one of them. We fought against the United States from breaking away from the Queen or the King. So we're on the control us, control me daddy side. You guys are the experiment. And I guess the Europeans and the people that control the world have just said, experiment is now over. So you guys are going to be lined up with the New World Order. And you guys are going to be the hardest one to crack because you got this pesky thing called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments. They're all getting in the way.
The Second Amendment is the one. That's the main, and our First Amendment, they're doing everything they can to squash our First Amendment rights. But the Second Amendment is certainly the one that keeps them from doing what, you know. I look at Australia, just these lockdowns, these draconian lockdowns. If they tried to do that in the United States, maybe not in California, especially the part of California where I'm from, where they've essentially, I mean, I'll give you, okay, so like, in the Bay Area and most of California, especially the metropolitan areas, you cannot get a concealed carry permit unless you've got some special connections. And at the same time, California law prohibits carrying a loaded firearm in public.
Right.
So in California, effectively, your Second Amendment rights have been negated.
They've been infringed upon, which is anti-constitutional.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's no law that says that you can only be armed in your home. And in California, to be honest with you, a lot of people, if they were to have their homes broken into and feel threatened by a suspect, they would be afraid to shoot the person because they would
be charged.
They would be prosecuted. Yeah,
I've heard that.
It's beyond just having the right to defend yourself. It's like to the point where they try to vilify defending yourself. But a lot of the rest of the country, however, you know, like in Florida, for example, there's a lot of areas where it's completely opposite of that. So
yeah, I've heard.
That's why that's a big part of why we decided to get out is just we want to just be in a situation where it's sane.
I believe you. Let me just play a bit of the show. I played a bit of it yesterday, so I'm going to play a bit of their show. It's public. It's on Facebook, so it's not private. So we're going to play
our Gigs Guy guest of the day. I don't know where he is, but I do want to say that when you were in, where were you, South Carolina, you had that hotspot on. You were traveling along in the open road, and you have
portable
Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yes. At a very reasonable price, so you can, you know, you're driving,
it's
you're in
hard
the car.
To skip forward on Facebook. Let me try real careful, like
app for Android or iOS.
There we go.
Faith, as in terms of religion or just spirituality in terms of being more connected to the universe at large, maybe
spirituality in general, connected to the universe at large. That's a good way to put it. I wasn't raised religious. I had tried.
Now, by the way, you may not know this about them, but they're rabidly anti-religious. They really mock Jesus, God. They think it's for stupid people. So I don't think you knew that either.
Yeah. Well, I guess I dodged a bullet on that one then, didn't
I?
Yeah,
I'm glad because see, one of the fun things about listening to guests on their show, and again, it's a cringe factor. Whenever they never really have anyone on that disagrees with them. Now, I went on their show and brought up 9/11 and went all the way with it. And I also have a few other beliefs that are a little bit fringe. And they took on those topics and just took them and ran with them to try and ridicule me. which I was fine with. I didn't have a problem. I knew the nature of the show and its entertainment. I get it all. And I'd rather just get the idea out there. I don't care if people think it's stupid or not. And I was on at least, they talked about my appearance on their show for at least a week after. I got a lot of negative feedback, mostly negative, and most of their listeners believe what they believe in, and they don't have contrarian views. So when someone like you comes on that may be somewhat contrarian to their view, I always wait to see if they're going to pounce on that. And the religion...
Well, they certainly did.
So the religion thing, they did not. And,
no, well, that's because it's not, you know, I mean, it's not religious, it's spiritual.
Right, and they, yes. So let's go. Do you know the timestamp of when they turned on you? Because you went on to, do you want to say quickly why you went on the show and what, do you want to promote that first and then we can get into.
Oh, sure, yeah. I would, well, to answer your question, I don't know the exact timestamp, but I would say that it was probably, I bet we spent more than 50% of the show talking about the vaccine as opposed to why I was there to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they didn't, they, you know, I had to remind them to plug my book.
How did you get on the show? What, how did they book you?
I hired a publicist to reach out to different places throughout, you know, and they wanted to have me on cause apparently they're dog lovers, which is very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? You know, like you said, they're not bad people. They just, you know, they just,
they're intolerant. No, they're intolerant.
They're intolerant. Yeah. I would say that's definitely true.
Because, and they probably agree with that.
I mean, they weren't just having a discussion with me. They were hostile.
They were waiting for you.
I would say they were. And they, and you know, I would say that the points that I made were very valid and, if you're being objective and trying to think critically about the stuff, I mean, it's like a lot of these things, like how can you just skirt over those points? It's like, this should make you at least want to delve in a little bit, you know, completely disregarded. So, but then again, you know, that's pretty normal when you, if you tune into CNN or Fox or any of those, that you're going to see that same type of behavior. So, but as far as my book, in 2018, my dog passed away, a 8-pound dachshund chihuahua named Tyson. He was a really special dog who, really changed my life when he came into it, that, and my wife's as well, opened my heart and, you know, helped me to grow spiritually and emotionally. And just, he was just this incredible spirit, soul. And, when he passed away, it basically caused a spiritual awakening in me. And, I ended up, you know, learning in no uncertain terms that there is an afterlife. And I wrote a book about it. And so, you know, it's kind of a book that's, if you're a dog lover, you know, if you enjoyed, for example, Marley and Me or, The Art of Racing in the Rain or A Dog's Journey or books like that, it's, you'll enjoy this book a lot, the first half especially, and then the second half of it gets into the grieving process of losing him, and also staying connected with him spiritually. So it's a, you know, I wrote the book to not just to memorialize and honor him, but also to share the story in the hopes that it'll bring peace to peace and comfort to other people. And, you know, they may not be in a space in their own life where they want to delve in and do a spiritual journey like I did and start exploring that realm. But for some it will, for some it won't. But what I'm also hoping is that it'll inspire people to go on their own journey. Because, I mean, everything in it is non-fictional. It's all a true story. But there's a big difference between reading about it and believing in it. And then also and knowing it. And so I really encourage people to read it and go on their own journey. And so that's it. You know, I was hoping to go on their show to talk about it and get it out there and to help people. And so I hope that there were people that actually got that out of it. But I see that. Is he a dog lover or only or all animals? Yeah, all animals.
Yeah, you can answer animals. Any questions you see pop up there.
Yeah, I just saw a bunch of, I saw some negative comments about cops.
Well, I banned that guy because he's just being an ass. And I don't, yeah. we can all rip on cops all we want, but in the end, they're just people. Actually, I don't, this is another tangent. One show I actually pay for on YouTube is James Freeman, who is a cop auditor. And he is one of the smartest guys when it comes to the law and rights that I've seen. And he actually wants to educate cops because, for the most part, police officers, as far as I can tell from his show, are just regular guys that are hired that they don't know everything. They certainly don't know every criminal code. And they're as different and varied as anyone else outside the police force. And
absolutely. But I started as a police officer when I was 36. I entered the academy.
Wow,
so
okay.
I had a fair amount of life and work experience at that point. And what I will say is you're right. I mean, it is just regular folks trying to do a job.
Yep.
And you know, they're not superhuman physically or psychologically or intellectually. But what I will say is that most of them, not all, you know, I've met my douchebag police officers in my career that I can't stand and think that they should have never gotten into the field. But for the most part, these are people of a very high level of integrity, and they're very decent, trustworthy type of people that you would want as your neighbor. And even the ones that are not great cops, they're still people that you would want as your neighbor. Most of them, I would say in my career, it's like maybe, I don't know, 1%.
Yeah. And it's always the bad apples that that humans focus on. We always focus on the one outstanding thing that's out of the crowd, and that's what we focus on. That's just another human defect, and that's what we center on. But getting back to this cop auditor, James Freeman, he's one of the most intelligent cop auditors, and there's many, many of them on YouTube. But he really gives you and the viewer and even the cop lessons on what our rights are, because the people that rule over us, they don't really want us to know what our God-given rights are. They actually try and obscure it so they have more, they can run more roughshod over us. And that can go anywhere from a cop to a DA to lawyers, the legal, the whole system. It's run by the elite for them, for their benefit.
But I will tell you, at least where I live, you know, the thing about the police is it's, you know, it depends on where you live.
Sure.
But I will say that in where I live, you know, I think there was a time, I know there was a time when cops were a lot rougher and, you know, and, you know, they had a tendency, I think still within good intentions, but it doesn't matter what your intentions are. If you're doing it illegally, they didn't always work. I'll tell you what, there's no, you know, cops aren't doing that, at least not in, they're not doing it intentionally. There is a high level of training and there's a high level of scrutiny to the point of cops being even really being afraid to do their job. So I'm not saying that's everywhere, but that's where it's gotten where I'm at. But you're right, I mean, I completely agree with you that there are people in power that are abusing their power, that
always
on all of, like you said, police, everywhere, government officials, you name it, there's people out there that are trying to get over and pull a fast one. And and so, you know, people like you that are trying to keep people in check and report on the reality of the situation, I think is huge. And you can tell it's huge when you see everybody getting censored, you know.
Oh yeah. I've been around this. I've gone around the sun 54 times now, so I've been around a bit.
And I'm not quite where you're at, but I'm damn close.
Yeah. So I have a bit of life experience, and I've got a PhD in fakeology right now, which is media fakery, and I love the media. I've always loved the media, but now, of course, it's being used for very evil against people. And
the thing about the media. You know, I talk to people about this all the time. You know, there's certain politicians that I despise, because I think they're just garbage human beings. Although I will say on a spiritual level, we're all on our journey and we're all here to learn lessons. So I'm not saying that they're, you know, they should be, you know, condemned to hell or anything like that. But, but I don't think that they're the problem. I think there's always, anytime you put human beings in a position of power, you're risking, you know, you're risking them abusing that power, and especially if they're not kept in check. And that's what the media's job is. That's why the First Amendment's so darn important. Mm-hmm. And the media at this point, the legacy media as a whole does not keep them in check. They don't do their job. They're a propaganda wing is what they are. Yeah. They're not doing anything. And you can see it very clearly, particularly when you compare what they're reporting on to, you know, people like you, you know, people that are more independent that don't have an ulterior motive necessarily. I mean, everybody has their bias.
Yeah. I got my bias,
but most people, I think the media doesn't, there's, as far as integrity is concerned, they don't care. They're going to do what sells or what is pointing people in the direction they want them to go in, one or the other, you know?
Yeah.
And so in the United States in particular, like you, in fact, here's another little tidbit that I didn't mention. I majored in film. My original career, aspiration was to be a film director. I loved Hollywood. I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to, you know, but now I am so thankful that I chose to get out because it would be making me crazy right now. That it is, you know, there's just this alternate universe that they're trying to keep everybody in. And, I don't know. I'm thankful for people like you that are,
oh, thank you.
You know, you don't have any ulterior motive. You're just trying to have your voice heard and say what you think. And that is, and I assume, like you said, I don't know you,
yeah.
But I would assume that you're doing the best you can to be honest and, you know,
I am trying.
Have a high level of integrity with what you say and do on your show, and the as a whole, the mainstream media does not do that, and that's,
well, they're taking over. Yes. My take on the mainstream media is if their model is broken, the internet broke their model, so it was ripe for a takeover as well. So the people with all the money are just took it over basically, and are using it to evil ends. The concentration of money and power is gone so far that the media doesn't have any independence. It's not the fourth estate anymore. So it's now just an organ of the elite, the powers that should not be, and whoever you think those people are, the Jesuits, the Jews, the black nobility, the houses, the ancient houses of Europe, the Venetians, the Phoenicians, the biggest corporations that are controlled by the super top 300, top 13 families. I don't know who they are. They hide themselves super well, and we only have clues. And I don't believe Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates. They're just put there as the placeholders for so-called richest in the world. They don't even come close. I know that. There's just no way. Not by my research. So that's where the media is now. It's just simply an organ. In Canada, our media is pretty much collapsed. So it got a huge $500 million subsidy from our government to keep doing what they were doing. So now it's just simply a wing of propaganda. And that goes right down to the community newspapers. You can go look up on our government website all the grants that are given out. And it goes right down to your very small town newspaper. They might have got $100,000 from the government. So I'm not if Brandon is paying me to do my show, I'm not going to be criticizing Brandon all that much. It's just, it's a law of reciprocity. I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me. Even if you say it's okay to do it, it's unlikely that I would do it.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the state of our media. I know the difference.
I think the reality is that our media is probably in a similar state. It's just not as overt.
Bought and paid for. But let's go back to the show because I want to concentrate on why you're here, because I really want to just see how you were treated and how you reacted, and then maybe have some strategies. So
I wasn't even sure exactly how it was perceived, but well, let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, religion.
The only good part about it is I don't think, just based on their stats on Facebook, almost nobody watches their show on Facebook. Now, I don't know how many people listen to the podcast. There's absolutely no way of telling. There's no metric. There's no measurement of podcasts. But they do sell ads on their show, so they're making a living. So I'm going to give them credit. I'm not going to dump on them totally. So they make a living off
the
show.
They must be doing something, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Howard's are probably a fantastic salesman, and if you can convince people that people are listening, then that's great. But so let me play.
Well, I haven't got any sales out of it, I'll tell you that.
Probably not. Yeah, like, I'll be honest. There's almost. I'm not a book buyer. I'm a book downloader. So there's too many sites to grab books. And I've sponsored. I've sent donations to certain content creators. Just and I don't even care if I get the book for whatever it is. So anyway, let me just play a bit. Here we go.
Those are so compelling in this book that. And I was in such a state of grief, you know, that I was like, well, you know what?
Let me go ahead.
I know how it works in the States. Is it mandatory? You get to a 50 years? Because you can't, you got to be still in your 40s, right?
Yeah, I'm 48.
Are you retiring because you're becoming a big best-selling author? And
I wish.
Shit? Oh, here we go.
I wish. Get into it here. No, I'm retiring, to be completely honest. I'm leaving the department that I'm in now because of the vaccine mandate.
It's kind of funny. I knew you were going to say that when you said you're retiring early. Mm-hmm. So then in my mind, I thought, oh boy, here we go. Let's see if they tear it. Let's see if they, if these two dogs grab this bone.
And... Well, yeah, they sure did. Mandates actually.
And what, in terms of what?
Well, in California, they're forcing children to get them in order to go to school. And I'm not okay with my daughter getting it. And, I actually got my wife and I both got it initially, but watching what's happened since, we decided we didn't want any more. And now both of our employers are requiring it. So we're moving to another state where we can have some freedom.
But wait a minute. In California, wouldn't your daughter have to have other vaccines to go to school?
Didn't she have to go to like rubella and measles and mumps and things like that?
But this vaccine is different.
Now, at this point, do you know you're about to get attacked?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did
but
you?
You know what? I was like, I mean, I could. I don't know. I feel pretty strongly about it because I'm literally just changing my entire life, leaving my whole family behind and everything. So I kind of looked at it. On the one hand, I didn't want the confrontation. I really wanted it to be a positive thing to talk about the book. But at the same time, I wasn't going to back down because there is a certain amount of anger that I have about the whole thing. And I felt like it was worth the fight.
Right. Even though it would probably drag the whole point of your appearance down into the gutter.
you know, actually it's funny. Okay. So, here, and you people that are listening, especially the one that was insulting cops earlier, buy my book because most shows.
Buy his book. Can we have book, one sale from the Fakeologist Radio Network?
I mean, most of the shows that I've been on, even the ones that reach a huge number of people, you know, I haven't gotten a lot of sales out of it. So I figured, fuck it. I'm just gonna do it and speak my mind. I'm kind of like that anyway. I have a heart. I'm one of my biggest strengths and one of my biggest weaknesses is that I'm very honest and I have a hard time holding back on how I feel and so I just decided to let it rip. What I didn't necessarily expect though, I thought, you know, I could see that they clearly were on the other side of the aisle on this issue, but I didn't expect them to be so
rabid.
Yeah, I mean, they're
like a rabid dog.
You listen to some of the comments that they, I mean, it was condescending. It had that tone to it, and even kind of gloating at the end when he said, oh, you're not going to be able to travel. You know, and I, at that point, I was like, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I'm not going to win any points here by continuing to fight. But what I want to say is, I'm not going to be able to travel most likely. And that's wrong.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the case.
Thanks to the tyranny of the majority, like you, that are discriminating against people that don't believe in your belief system, which is, it's just.
And why?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that kills me. It's like I read today, you know, Germany's got a full lockdown on people that are unvaccinated. So why? The vaccine does not prevent you from spreading it. Right. It doesn't prevent you from giving it. So you being out there unvaccinated is not putting anybody else in any danger. You know, it's, and there are plenty of other treatments available. And then you look at that. I mean, I am not like, yeah, I can see you've got all these different, you know, things like 9/11 and, right, and all that. I'm a lot more open to that, I will say, than I used to be. In fact, I think there's probably a lot of truth to it at this point, but before all this, I wasn't necessarily like that. But you know, it, just watching things with a discerning mind or trying to be discerning, and seeing how there's these clear contradictions between the policies and their supposed severity of the situation. You know, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, I work for a regional park district, and we have a lot of parks and in two different counties. And one, you know, for a good portion of the heart of the pandemic, they've closed down all the picnic areas, which makes sense, right? You don't want people sitting there and congregating. But like one of our beach parks, you know, they have all the picnic areas closed, but yet they're allowing congregation on the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense?
No.
I mean, if this thing is really truly that big of a threat, why would you be doing it? And I was actually told, you enforce it in the sense to talk to people, ask them to disperse, but if they decide to push back, don't enforce it. Well, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm glad because I don't really want to enforce it anyway, but at the same time, if it's that serious, why wouldn't you want us enforcing it? Mm-hmm. If it's that dire to the public health, why are you not allowing us to push harder? You know, and that's just an example of what I saw early on, and it made me very suspicious. Like, what's going on here? You know, so yeah.
And an intelligent person would ask more questions to try and figure it out, and then some people will go tumbling down the rabbit hole, and the rabbit hole is very deep. See, normally when I do a show, I'm talking to an echo chamber. Every single one of my guests, or not guests, sorry, my listeners, they know what I'm going to say. They know my views. And my big thing is, you guys, you got to spread the show around, because we can talk to each other all day long till we're blue in the face and argue about the minutia, but we're not making any difference to the outside world.
And by the way, to your listeners, talk about my book on your social media page. I don't normally do this, but this is kind of a lighthearted.
This is shameless shilling.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to be shameless here. Hey,
shilling.
Go on it. You'll love my book. It's great if you love animals.
And don't download his book from the site that I recommend you download all the other books from. I won't even mention it tonight. But yeah,
It's on Amazon. It's on, you can get it on Kindle, and you can also get a paperback, and I will be releasing it on audiobook very soon.
Are you reading it? Or are you getting someone to read it?
I decided to get somebody to read it, not because I didn't want to do it. I actually thought I could do a pretty good job, but I didn't want it to be technically, flawed. I want to make sure they
hired a voice actor, I guess, is probably better, because there are people that can.
Yeah. The guy that did, he's completed it. I'm going through and kind of just picking it apart right now. But he did a good job. So, hey, shout out to Dirty Benny. I appreciate the positive comments.
The Dirty Benny is a great contributor to the website. He's also a donor to the website. We're on a value for value model, just so give you some information on what we do. So you can give your time, your talent, or your treasure. So you can spend time with the website. You can contribute to the website. We got forums. We've got Discords. We got audio chats. You can help out with the website, promote it, That can be the talent. And if you don't want to do or don't have the time for any of that, just send us money. So Benny does all those things. So he contributes, and so I'll give him a nice shout out because he does a lot of information. And and we're completely open. All our stuff is free. So the poor among us, the people that are downtrodden, they can access all our material. We have almost 1,000 audio chats. This is show number 430 where I just do my own thing or have an interview like this. So I've been doing it a long time. It's all out there and it's all easy to download. But
that's very cool.
So we talk about media fakery, and I like to bring in people that are somewhat awake, because I don't think I could beat on just what we call an NPC, non-player character, regular person, and try and convince them of anything I'm talking about. So that's why I had you on, because I know there's enough intelligence there where you know that there's something wrong. You're old enough to have worked in different systems, so you understand the nature of how human systems work. But I really wanted to just illustrate the mistreatment you got and let you speak your piece and give other people a clue on how we can really approach the other side, because we have to live with these people, and we're not going to start our own society all that easily. I mean, I have one guy who wants to start his own city, and I said, that's an awesome task. You're not just going to build your own society where we're all locked in this Andy of Mayberry town, and just we all are maskless. And I appreciate the effort.
There are places where, you know, where it's like that. I mean, there are places in the United States anyway where you know. In fact, I think the majority of the United States is actually like that.
Right.
It's just, you know, because the media is a propaganda arm, you know, of the government. It's.
But they have their schisms too. I know that this is a psyop, psychological operation, that's gone around all the politicians, all the systems, direct to the people. Because with the smartphones, with the internet, I can communicate directly with every single person from the very tippy top of society. I don't need all these layers of management, and that's what they are going to do. They are communicating one-on-one, one to a million, directly through these devices. And it's this is an awesome revolution. It's an amazing time to be alive. It's scary but it's exciting.
I agree with you, and honestly, I really do believe that in the next, you know, probably year, this coming year is going to be, at least in the United States, and I would imagine it'll be a domino effect. There's going to be some major, major change, major things being revealed. I think a lot of the truth that you allude to, I really do believe that it's going to become more known on a mainstream level, and people are going to become more, like you said, awake. I really do think that. I think in the long haul, things are going to get, they're going to end up in a much, much, much better place. I'm not saying the battle's going to be over, because it never will be. But I think that things, there are forces of light that are at work that I believe are winning. It's just that you don't see it yet. And I'm looking forward to it. I just, you know, I mean, I'm still glad that I'm not going to be in the Bay Area, because I think the Bay Area is probably going to really be probably, I imagine, where you live too, it'll probably be to some extent.
It's a smart city. It'll be a smart city. That's what they want. Toronto's a smart city. San Francisco is. I don't even think they want people living in California. I think that's part of. That's another one of the goals. They do not want as many people in California, and they're getting their wish. People are,
well, at least they don't want actual citizens of the United States living in California.
Well, they want people that are easier to control, and if for instance, in where I work, it's mostly students from India, and they're being abused employment style wise. They're being abused like crazy, and just by hours worked and no unions, all that kind of thing. So they're more manipulable because they're always under the threat of deportation, which is a terrible way to live. And I feel badly for them. And I've said that directly to many of them. I said, you guys don't know your rights. And it creates a huge amount of number of people in society that don't even think they have access to the political system because from where they came from, they really didn't. So they come to this kind of country where they could participate. Yeah. And they don't think they have access to it just based on their history. And so that's another way that you can manipulate more people than old Whitey here that has a little bit of history about how things work. And they don't like people that know how things work. It's actually very detrimental to the ruling classes. Like in the end, this is always a war between the people with the money and everyone else. Always been that way in history. They always create new divisions, and now we're in the no-vax division. And the people at the top love this. They love that we're going to tear each other's throats out over this because in the meanwhile, they're just rearranging society so they have all the marbles. So it's crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the thing is, I think this time, I think they blew it because it's too obvious. I mean, I was one of those people.
To you, because
that,
you're sentient. Is it really obvious to your neighbors?
I think, well, not as much. I mean, they're not maybe paying as close of attention as I am. But I was one of those people that was, you know, I've always leaned conservative. But I also, you know, I believed in the system. There were a lot of things that I see now were probably manipulations and that should not have been supported, that were, you know, all about money and control and power. And, but in this particular case, you know, the thing about those things, like for, you know, example, the, you know, the wars in the Middle East, those are things that, you know, you as a taxpayer support because they convince you that it's the right thing. And, and, but you're not the one that's going over there and bleeding and giving your life and being away from your family and that sort of thing. For the vast majority of the people that are involved in it, this is a situation where the whole world's involved in it.
Oh yeah.
And
it's
and,
awesome.
And I think
it's awesome.
And it's, I think that's the mistake that they're making is that they, you know,
took on too much.
They've pushed it too far.
It's an awesome. They may have taken on way more than they should have. But
I think so. And I think I've been influenced in this belief, so I didn't come to this myself. But I do. I think that with President Trump, you know, he came in and just screwed everything up for them. you know, and did a lot of common sense things that they've been saying that people like me have been supporting for a long time that people have been saying they're going to do, but never actually did. And then you see how easy it is to actually do it if you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people that woke up and saw that, you know, and it's forced the deep state, into a situation where they have to move quickly. And you know, I am one, I'm full disclosure, I do believe that the elections in the United States were stolen. Yeah. I think on a large scale, I think it will eventually come out. I think it's already coming out. It's just a matter of people don't, you know, they're not either the courts or
denying. But it was made to be in your face though at this point. And you can't, there isn't any more proof than watching the Bumbler in Chief now. It's so in your face that basically it's saying, okay, we did put this guy in. We made it obvious. We made it completely obvious to the people that believe in Trump, and we made it obvious to everyone. So the question is, what are you guys going to do about it? And the answer is, you're not going to do anything about it. And just try and do something because you're not going to get anywhere. That's the message I get. So every time that they get this clown Biden saying anything,
yeah,
it's just proof that we put in the most incompetent, most and I feel bad because he's so old. I would never let my grandfather do that because I wouldn't want him to make a fool of himself, even if he thought it was the right thing to do, even if he wanted to do it his whole life. Sorry, you missed the boat. You're too old. And it's really unfair to let someone make a fool of themselves at that age, even if he is doing it under his own volition. You just say, no, you can't do that. So the elite have put them in there. And as much as I like Trump, and I voted for Trump because I'm also an American citizen.
Okay.
And I do vote. That was one of the reasons why I made sure I got my citizenship via my mother, and even though I'm in Canada, because I wanted to vote. I wanted to, we follow all the American politics, so I wanted to participate. But I voted for him twice, but I realized that I think he's part of the system. This is the problem. There's just too many things that you can overlook when you support someone that you overlook all their flaws. And I'm sorry to say,
why do you think that? I'm just curious what things
he's part of the system, because number one, he's an actor. They've told us he's an actor. He's been a lifetime actor. I think he was groomed for this role. If you believe the elections were rigged against him, then you could also, by the same logic, say they were rigged against Hillary. Because if the system hasn't changed since Trump won, then what's different? So I think that's all manipulated, and Trump, he's not on our side with the quaxine. He signed the executive order to bring in the emergency national emergency order in September 2019. He brags that he brought the vaccine faster than anyone in history.
I agree, that is the one thing about him.
I'm sorry to say he's in on the goddamn system. Pardon my cursing there, if you're a religious person. So he's in on it. Listen, the elite make sure that no organic person rises to the top. It's just not possible. They can't leave this to chance. There's too much money on the table. They can't.
Well, I will, you know, what you say about Trump, I admit that it's given me that issue with the vaccine is my biggest source of pause with him too. But,
sure.
But just being devil's advocate here, I'm not saying that you're not right, because I don't know
if I'm right. I don't know.
I actually believe that Trump is good and trying to, I don't think he's part of the system, at least not to the extent. I believe that he's trying to fix things. I do. That's on a gut level. But that issue of the vaccine makes me question that.
And you should question it.
But just as a devil's advocate, could it be that he wanted it to come out? One, to force the people to allow people to get back to work, to get back out there, but also to show that just how fascist things can be, and to expose the deep state. Just a thought, you know, because it is exposing. I mean, for a lot of people, this is the breaking point, myself included. You know,
it's easy to overlook the things that you don't like about someone, and that's what I call confirmation bias. When you just look for the things that you really like about someone, you don't want to believe that he works for the bad guys. But unfortunately, when you look into media fakery and the elite, there's just no way any of these people come. They just don't go to the top. It's not possible. They can't allow that to happen. They can't allow their neo-feudal system to break. It's just, there's too much money on the table. And even if Trump has in his heart that he believes all the things that he says he believes, the system will destroy him. And maybe they did, and maybe Kennedy was the same way. Kennedy had a ton of anti-establishment ideas, so many, and unfortunately he came from an establishment family that was involved in deceit. So we can go right back to Kennedy, and he was most likely an insider too. And the point of, and I believe they simulated his assassination, and I have a lot of evidence on my site about that. It was to show people that listen, or people that think they could have become president and think they could have changed the system. This guy had all the right ideas, and he was going against the system, and they blew his head off. So don't even think about growing up to become president and making things better for working people, because it's not going to happen. And they left that whole thing, the conspiracy around Kennedy, open-ended. It will never be solved. And that's the way they need it to be. They can't tell you the truth that he was probably an insider. They probably did not kill him. And he just went to Greece and lived happily ever after with a mustache and a beard kind of thing. Because his family was plugged in too. And the Trump family is probably plugged into the Matrix too to run the show. So,
yeah. I don't know 100%. My gut tells me that he's on the right side of things, but yeah. I'm not going to say that he absolutely is. You know, I agree.
I wanted to just put
the vaccine thing in particular is what gives me pause about it.
Exactly. It should. You
know, I agree. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
As long as I give you a little bit of doubt, I'm not going to try and convince you one way or the other.
After everything that I've seen over the last couple of years, I don't think anything is 100% sure proof anymore. Yeah. But I do think we're that ultimately things are moving in the right direction, because I think a lot of people are waking up. I really do.
I mean, hope you're right, but not
just like the number, like for me, the number of people. I mean, this whole thing of me, like, you know, selling my house and leaving my job and
that's huge.
It's huge. I'm uprooting my whole family. My wife's doing the same thing. You know,
you guys got some serious cojones to do all that. And
but we wouldn't do it if we weren't.
Well, you're committed. You're totally committed. Total commendation from this side. Let's play a little more of this interview.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
How?
For starters, it's not an actual vaccine. Did you know that the CDC had to change the definition of a vaccine in order to fit it in?
Let me ask you a question. And again, we're going to let you go in a second because you seem like a good guy. But if you look around the world, the countries with the lowest COVID rates are the highest vaccinated.
Which is a lie, by the way. And it might have been true last week, but this week they've completely reversed it. So
I know I didn't, you know, this is one of those things where I'm not going to say a bunch of crap unless I can back it up. But I know because I couldn't say the exact countries, but I know there's countries in Asia, like undeveloped countries, where they don't even have access to vaccines where it's gotten, they're completely under control.
Exactly. At the beginning, one of the guys on the screen here, Phil, he's from Cambodia, or his wife's from Cambodia. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of this simulation, which is all it is, they didn't have any COVID cases. So they weren't really being... See, I think all the numbers are simulated, and they have to be, because there is no test for COVID. They can't... Right. There's so many problems with the original story that it is simply an epidemiological simulation where if there was such thing as a virus, and if there was such thing as contagious viruses, this is how it would work. And they have computer models to show that the average person might be in contact with 5 people. If they're a police officer, they might be in contact with 50 people a day. And this is how, if there was such thing as a contagious virus, by the way, there is no such thing as contagion, then this is how it would spread, and this is what we can do to abate the spread. But it's all a simulation done with the help of computers by a complete network, a worldwide network of epidemiologists that started. Part of the center was Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and in Toronto we have the Della Lana School of Epidemiology, and in Germany there's a school of this pseudoscience, and they have built out their network for the last 20 to 30 years and plopped it all around the world to basically create a shadow government in every country. And it's not a conspiracy. You can you can look up all these agencies, and you can look up who's funding them. It's not a conspiracy whatsoever, but the average person is not going to spend that kind of time at it. I try and talk about it every night, but
I have to admit, I'm one that I listen to different podcasts and stuff, but I'm not like a researcher or anything. But yeah, I think it's a serious disease. I just don't think it's.
I have a friend
that works in an ICU, and she's always talking about it. This is serious. I wish people would quit saying that. I know it is serious, but is it what they say it is? I don't believe that.
Well, just working in an ICU, you're not exactly seeing healthy people. That's where the sickest people in any hospital go.
She sees a lot of people that are diagnosed with COVID.
Right. The only problem is there's no test for it. So they're diagnosed with something there's no test for. You can't test for COVID. I mean, you have to go right back to the basics of this psychological operation, just like you can't test for AIDS. And I call this COVIDs because it's AIDS 2.0. This whole thing, and you're my age, so you were probably just feeling your oats back when Fauci was around telling everyone if they had sex, they could possibly die. I mean, I was 16 when that came out, and I thought, great, I'm just getting going, and now you're going to tell me that if I start having fun, I could die? This is real. And now here we are. Now I'm in middle age, and you're telling me I'm going to die again. Same old guy. Yeah. I was just pulling up some videos of this criminal.
And I agree. I mean, it could just as well be the flu as it is, you know, anything else. I agree with you. I'm not saying that it's what they say it is. I'm just saying that it's something you should certainly protect yourself from. But it's just not. It's not this horrible pandemic that they're making it out to be. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, as we all know, most of the people that died from it didn't need to. You know, if they had just been honest and allowed the medications that are really working to be made, you know, mainstream public knowledge, we wouldn't have all these deaths.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there are all these deaths. There never were all these deaths. It was the same. The death rate was the same.
I hear what you're saying.
Just like on 9/11.
I'm not gonna go as far as to say that I think that's definitely the case, but I definitely think that it's very plausible.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't done the amount of research.
Did you know on
I'm
nine?
Not,
did you
I'm
know
being on, the contrary, and I'm just saying.
No, it's fine. Did you know there's something called the Social Security Death Index, which is not really that. It's almost like the VAERS. It was sort of a voluntary reporting of deaths that the counties would submit to the federal government, which actually has no business in counting deaths, but the federal government in the United States at least has created and assumed so much power that's not bestowed to it constitutionally that it's just out of control in that sense. But on that day in New York City on 9/11/2001, the number of deaths in New York City was the same as on September 10th. So if we're told that 3,000 people died, where are they? Where are their deaths recorded? The answer is they aren't recorded. So if they're not recorded, why? Did they really die? So this simulation is huge. And now, of course, 9/11 was what I studied at the beginning, and it was huge at the time. But now this is 9/11 on steroids. So they're using every trick in the book to simulate – to create this simulation and screw people and fool people. So
but again, you know, it's one of those things where it's affecting every population in the world pretty much.
And it's people
like me that, you know, that were trusting before, that are not seeing on the ground what they're being told. And I think that because of that, like you said, they've gone too far this time. They've overexposed themselves.
Well, it ain't over yet, though. That's the thing. I don't think we can call this on or off yet. So let's play a little more.
Well,
I'm assuming your background as an author or in police work. You didn't have time to become a scientist, did you?
No,
that's another. I like to illustrate logical fallacies, because we're not taught how to argue, unfortunately, in our education system. But we're really arguing with our hands tied behind our back. But I did look up in the past logical fallacy. So he just did an appeal to authority. So he's saying, you're stupid. You can't argue because you're not a doctor. So that.
And what I should have said in response, and I thought about saying it, but I was trying not to be confrontational. What I should have said is, well, neither are you, buddy.
Exactly.
The obvious thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if you were going to take the gloves off, but I thought, well, maybe he just wants to sell his book, so he doesn't want to piss off the five people that watch the show.
No, I didn't. But those types of arguments, I'm trying to. My intent was to try to have an honest,
Well, you didn't come for an argument.
No, I didn't, and it definitely caught me off guard. But even in the middle of it. And I wasn't necessarily going to back down, but I didn't want to have a vitriolic type of conversation with them. I wanted it to be, an honest, exchange of ideas. But that's not what they really wanted, obviously.
No, they wanted to teach you a lesson. And,
say that again.
They wanted to teach you a lesson. They wanted to spank somebody publicly. That was their goal. And they've been trying to get someone on. We have a guy in Canada called Chris Sky. He goes around the country leading protests. I don't really know if there's an equivalent in the United States that I'm aware of. But Chris Sky is a younger guy. He's in his 30s, and he's super hyper. And he's like an Alex Jones style. He just starts yelling. And they had him on, and Chris just yelled at them for 10 minutes. I actually thought it was fun because Chris just steamrolled these two guys. And they just gave up and hung up on him. But I thought it was a great show.
Well, I think I don't think they succeeded in giving me a spanking.
No, I said in my email, you came away with grace.
Yeah, well, graceful, but did I leave with all I wanted to do was to give some comments that might get people thinking, and so hopefully I did that. Like the thing, it's like, how do you, and these were true statements. Like, my dad got blood clots in his lungs. And, I'll admit it. I exaggerated a little bit. He didn't almost die, but he was really, really sick to the point. And he didn't tell anybody.
You get blood clots in your lungs, you're almost dead. Sorry.
Yeah. He finally went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, shit, you should have been admitted. When he told me that, it gave me pause. I'll tell you that much, because my dad and I are very close. It blew my mind. And his sister-in-law, my stepmom's sister, she died within a few days of taking the vaccine inexplicably. It hasn't been confirmed, quote unquote, that it was.
How old was she?
Late 60s, early 70s. I mean, she wasn't a young lady, but she wasn't like in a situation where she was. There was any concerns of her being on her deathbed or even
terrible.
I mean, she had your typical health problems for somebody of that age. She went to bed feeling fine, and when she died in her sleep.
Wow.
Did
they
that's
do an
not,
autopsy?
No, they didn't. And I'll tell you, people said, they had to do it. Her husband, who I get where he was coming from on this. He didn't want to know. Because he felt that it would have been too hard to live with if it was caused by the vaccine.
Yeah, it's such denial.
And I get it.
Such
I understand
denial,
where he's coming from.
And that is so typical. People are just in such denial. And I've asked,
I wouldn't necessarily say that he was in denial. It's not like I don't think he didn't think it was a possibility that she died from the vaccine. He didn't want it confirmed because the idea that he lost his beloved over for that was going to be more than he could handle psychologically. And I understand,
isn't that sort of denial? He wants to deny that this.
But he's not denying it because he doesn't want to, he's not denying it because he doesn't want to believe that things could be so corrupt. He's denying it because it would be too painful for him to believe that his wife died for no reason.
Yeah, but it's still denial. unfortunately.
It's denial, but it's not, you know, like a lot of people I think are, I saw a cognitive dissonance there from NRISE movement. You know, a lot of people I think are, you know, they're having that cognitive dissonance because they don't want to believe that this government or this world order that we have,
right,
that's so powerful, could be so evil. And that's understandable, you know, that you would be in cognitive dissonance over something like that. But there's a difference between that and just trying to make peace with the loss of your soulmate.
Yeah.
I don't hold that against him. I think he was trying to survive on a human psychological level. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I don't hold it against anybody, but, this is pure evil. People need to confront evil. And by not sharing the information, it hurts other people in the long run. People need to know what's happening. They really do.
Yeah. Me personally, if that had happened, I would have been like, if it was my wife, that I would be like a rabid monster trying to go after people because I would be trying to avenge her.
The enemy is so diffused that you wouldn't even know where to point your gun. That's one of the problems in this war.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's the enemy is all around. The enemy are people that are promoting this. The enemy are the people that are getting their children injected without doing research. They're our enemy, unfortunately. It's really, this is a perfect war. Even getting back to Trump, I thought at the time, well, they're definitely going to get rid of Trump. And all leaders are going to fall all around the world. This is a checkmate situation because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If Trump came out against the vaccine, he would have the majority, maybe 50, 60%, maybe higher, that would have his head for not trying to help them get through this with the injection, because everyone, for the most part, believes in vaccination. It's a widespread belief system that has absolutely no basis. But
I don't think in the States that's true.
No?
No, I don't. I think in the Bay Area where I'm from, yes.
Okay.
Probably the majority. But I think initially most people, and myself included, I got it initially because I thought, well, I'm a police officer. I work with the public.
So you had the first injection.
I got the Moderna. I got the both of them.
Oh, you got two.
I got the first full, you know, the first full, you know,
you got two.
Whatever, vaccination. It required two injections.
Right.
And I realized that it was a risk because it was new. And, but I also thought, you know, if I end up getting this and dying
Did you do any research before you did it into vaccination, the history of it?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. I trusted.
Right.
I trusted.
You're in
and honestly, and if I'm honest, part of the reason I trusted was because Trump was endorsing it.
Right.
You know, I really believed that he was doing the right thing, and that's part of why.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be the only one. It's.
But I think since then, since the goalposts keep getting moved, and
now you're nothing, suspicious.
It's obvious that, well, for, you know, it doesn't even work, for criminy's sake. You know,
well, actually, it does work. Everything that they say it does, it's not even provable. The only thing they said is if you take the vaccination, it has a 95 or 98% chance of reducing symptoms from COVID. Now, what is COVID? COVID's a cold. So sniffles, sore throat, fever, headache. That's all they said. Now, how do you prove that it's 98% effective in reducing symptoms? How can you prove that your headache was reduced? How can you prove that your runny nose was reduced? How can you prove that your sore throat was reduced? There's no way you can prove that. So you can easily make that statement and not be called out for it. They never said it's going to prevent transmission. They didn't say any of those things, actually.
Yeah, it's a good. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
so where did we get those ideas? So those ideas were propagated by whoever you want to believe put them out there. They put them in your head.
And the fact that they call it a vaccination.
Right. I mean,
we all have.
Now,
have
who calls it a vaccination? Because Dr. Martin, no matter what you think of him, he looked at the SEC filings for Pfizer and Moderna, And in the filings for these injections, they're called gene therapy. They're not called vaccinations. In the SEC filings to the Security and Exchange Commission. Now, is that widespread knowledge? No. So why didn't they call them vaccine? Why did they?
There's not even, you know, the knowledge. Like I've asked people the question: are you aware that the CDC changed the definition of vaccination?
Yeah,
and most people in the United States aren't aware of it at all. They're not aware of that at all.
They didn't even know the initial definition. Probably, actually, you said that in this in your argument on the.
It's pretty intuitive, though, right? I mean, it's intuitive. It causes an immune response. You have an immunity to a specific disease. Yeah. I mean, that's what we all understand a vaccine to be. By the current definition, vitamin C is a vaccine. You know,
right?
I mean, unless I'm misquoting here, it says a.
No, you're right. You're right, but the other thing, and maybe you'll do this research in the future, the whole nature of immunity is a false paradigm. And hopefully you'll be able to take away a couple of the people I follow, like look up Amanda Vollmer, look up What Really Makes You Ill.com. They have turned the whole nature of illness head over heels. And if you look into the nature of illness, it will blow your mind that what we're being told how we get sick is a complete lie. So the basis of my site is always that 9/11 proved to me that the entire world can be lied to and they can get away with it. That's the main takeaway for me. I've been saying that for years. And I had no idea that you could lie to the entire world and get away with it and nobody would figure it out. Except for a small fraction of people that can be easily ignored and marginalized, like me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play a little more of what you were saying here.
There's 19,000 deaths at this point. I'm just not willing to take any more chances with it. That's just in the United States alone.
Oh yeah.
And the other thing is, anyway. I mean, some people say that in areas where there's higher vaccinations, there's lower COVID rates. That may be true in some cases, but in other cases, it's not true. Like, for example, in Iceland, Ireland, and the UK, they have a near 100% vaccine rate, between 80 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just under 50% of the new hospitalizations are vaccinated.
You know, Brandon, you seem like a good guy, but that cherry picking, I fear for you, buddy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. And here's the thing, you know, you talk about 19,000 people that have died having been vaccinated. Do you know the number of people that died in the U.S. from COVID, or do you have any idea what that number is?
I don't know the specific number right now.
100,000.
Mm. Okay.
He got you there because he looks at the webpage, the Worldometer, that shows the number of deaths. And by the way, that page is made by Johns Hopkins, so it's their simulation. So you don't know that, from what I remember, this guy, he looks at that page every single day. So he's attacking.
I figured as much.
Yeah, he's obsessed with that page. But what he doesn't say is it's actually the actual number of people that normally die year over year in the United States. The death rate, I believe, is 0.8% worldwide. In the United States, it's also 0.8%. So it's actually the number of people that normally die anyway. There's no increase in the number of people that have died anywhere in the world until actually now it's just starting to pick up, coincidentally, as the vaccines are becoming more and more widespread. Now the death rates are going up. So he's just quoting numbers. Those numbers are accurate, but even all the officials have admitted that if you test positive with a phony test for COVID, it doesn't matter what how you died. If you run over by a truck, they will test you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, what at the end of the, you know, the argument when I talked about my cousin's grandma, you know, she's in her 90s. She passes away from natural causes.
Right.
No symptoms.
Right, asymptomatic.
Apparently tested positive, and you know, after she passed away, and they gave her, they put down cause of death COVID, but they gave her $4,000 towards the mortuary fees.
Yeah, I heard that. That blew me away.
It's like, well, I'm not going to argue with that. That's $4,000, you know, and that's just one case. I'm sure it's.
Yeah, I thought like in New York State they gave $9,000. How did she only get $4,000? I heard it was $9,000, at least in New York State. So she got ripped off.
We're white.
Yeah. You should have picked a bigger coffin.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Let me play. I mean, the statistics, like you said, obviously they're manipulated big time. But you know, people want to say, well, you know, on the one hand, the numbers that they give for the total causes of death, you know, deaths of COVID, are obviously blown out, and a lot of those people had comorbidities and didn't necessarily die from COVID.
Or were just
but
old.
You got to say the same thing about VAERS or the, you know, the VAERS statistics on deaths. Well, thing is, that's, you know, they're required to put down a cause of death, and they're definitely going to put down COVID if they're testing positive on COVID.
If they're getting paid,
it's a voluntary thing. They don't have to record those.
Or if they're getting paid, they get paid to put it down. So
yeah, yes, they do. There's a financial incentive.
Harvard
did a study. I'm sure you're aware of this, but Harvard did a study on the VAERS system, typically it's 1% reported.
Yes.
I'm sure it's higher for COVID because it's such a controversial issue.
Well, they've explained why it's 1%, because a doctor doesn't get paid for it. It takes about an hour to fill it out. And in the meantime, he could be, if he is diagnosing COVID patients and administering vaccinations, he's getting paid for that. So why would he do any of the things that don't pay him money? Why would he hire someone to fill it out?
In the case of my dad, you know, my dad, you know, he had the blood clots in his lungs. My dead sister-in-law died. I don't think either one of those were reported to VAERS. I know my dad's wasn't, because when he talked to his doctor about it, my dad, he's 74. He's very healthy. You'd never guess he was 74. He's always taken good, really. I'm very proud of my dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's never had blood clots. It's never been an issue. So he goes to his doctor and he's like, could this, you know, it happened right after I got the vaccine. Could it be from the vaccine? And he goes to Kaiser and the guy's like, the doctor says, oh no. There could be anything could have caused that. You know, any number of things.
Could have been the north wind.
What's that?
Could have been the north wind.
Could have been the north wind. And he even asked to be, the doctor referred him to, a respiratory specialist, cardiac specialist. And that doctor said the same thing. Blew him away.
Imagine that, eh?
He couldn't. Yeah, exactly. He couldn't believe it.
That get paid to promote a drug, promote a narrative, are going to actually not disagree with the hand that feeds them. It's
exactly.
People
it's just, not hard. Yeah, it's not hard. I mean, I put myself in the doctor's position.
Yeah.
You know, you're making a good living.
Yeah.
You've got medical school loans to pay for. You're trying to support yourself just like the rest of us. And doctors don't make the kind of money they used to make, you know, relatively speaking. Are you really going? They're telling you that it's safe, just like they always do, as far as, you know, what information you get from. About medications, big pharma dictates that, right? So are you going to question? Probably not, because if you question, it's going to screw everything else up too. You know, your whole life is going to devolve in a domino effect, and you know.
Well, I'm not going to tell my patient that it's probably the injection, and have one guy wreck my house of cards. There's just no
exactly.
way. Now, if every patient came to my front door with pitchforks and torches and said, do you think this injection caused us all these problems? Then I might
be honest.
But if I'm not going to let one guy, and then what happens if the one guy goes and snitches? Now, he could probably be easily suppressed, but I just don't want to risk that. It's easier to say, there's something wrong with your head for even thinking that. I'm gonna refer you to a psychiatrist because it's important we get those thoughts out of your head. So we don't need, and that's what they do. And that happens, too. You're just crazy. Where'd you read that on the internet? What's that, that worldwide information thing where people can put information that's not official? I mean, what are you crazy?
And it's groupthink, you know. You have all these people that are there, you know, it starts off at the top where they're motivated by their pocketbook, and then it's this domino effect that goes right down the line. They get the groupthink going. You know, I empathize with them. I wouldn't want to be them when everything starts hitting the fan, because they're going to have this horrible guilt, you know. I think, but I really respect the doctors that have, like the frontline doctors that have pulled out, and you know, they're trying to speak the truth.
Yeah, and you really have to.
I don't think doctors as a whole are bad people. They're just, you know, they're part of that system.
They're taken over. They're taken over. They were ripe for a takeover. They're not independent. They all work for a system, just like so many of us. And you can't beat the system. Did you listen to the Humble and Dread show the next day to the reaction to your appearance?
No, I've never, in fact, I listened to a little bit of them before I went on the show just to hear kind of what they were about. No, I never listened. You said you could call me a peahead, right?
Yeah, listen to this. This is yesterday.
To ask him. And
same with me.
Huh?
Same with me. I was thinking, oh, I should have asked him this. We could have. Well, hey, let's talk about it. We're not recording it. Okay, here we go.
Oh, Fred just dropped out.
So this is the show the day after.
That was weird. Where'd Fred go?
I don't know.
Now you're going to have to go.
Okay.
Okay, but don't go until Fred goes.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Don't go until Fred comes back.
All right.
Because now Fred, it's literally as soon as I hit record, Fred just left. Okay, Fred's back now.
Easily
now
in
you
Facebook.
Go, mm-hmm. And I'll see you in a minute.
Listen to the.
All right. That was weird.
Yeah, I'd say.
Did you do anything?
No. I don't know if I had a internet blip or what. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, now Phil's gone. And here's Phil. Phil's coming back now. It's going to be a busy show, so I guess we should get to it.
Phil went too, eh?
Wow. I kicked him out. So that we could reorganize
the
viewing.
Half the show is about technical problems.
Phil, are you ready? We should get right to it.
I think we're ready.
All right.
Sorry about this.
All right, here we go.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Duer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Instagram account is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, very busy show today. Let's get right to it. Yeah, you were just saying before you cut out that all day yesterday you were thinking of things we could have said to the anti-vax guy. I had the same experience. I kept thinking, oh, shoot, I should have mentioned that or this other cool fact.
Well, whenever I'm talking about the subject, I always say, you know, these people, what I'd like to say to them is, okay, 99% of the science world is on board, 99.9% of whatever doctors are on board. So you and your little world, what do you think, what is the conspiracy? What are they up to that we should all be concerned with? I know it'll all get back to, you know, the big pharma and controlling us, but you'd like to hear them actually say that.
Okay. Do you want to react to that? You're one of these people, by the way. How do you like being labeled these people? The anti-vax guy.
It's like, it's so ridiculous. It's like, I'm the guy that wrote the beautiful book about his dog, damn it.
Exactly.
What I would say is like, for example, okay, children, you know, if there's been 500, last I checked, this was like a few weeks ago, so maybe there's been more, and not to, you know, be lied about any death of anybody, especially a child, but there's 500 children that have passed from from COVID, supposedly, in the United States since the start of the pandemic. Only 20 of those did not have a comorbidity. So if you take that and you extrapolate the numbers out, if you vaccinate everybody, you've got a higher chance of, as a child, of dying from the vaccine than you do from COVID itself. If it's only killing 20 out of the 500, you've got a higher percent. There's a higher percentage that have died just from COVID than from the vaccine itself. Why would you vaccinate, require kids 5 and up, which is what they're going to be doing in California?
Oh, they're going to for the 6 month olds. Don't worry, that's.
Well, eventually they are. Yeah,
that won't take long. That's where
it's at right now. It's you can't justify that. Yeah. You can't justify, statistically, at this point, you got a better chance of you're more healthy, even if you take out the fact that you don't know what it's going to do to you, short or long term, you still have a better chance of surviving by just letting, playing the cart, rolling the dice with nature than you do with the vaccine. It's insanity. Yeah. So I would say that. How can you justify that? And to which, of course, they would say, oh, that's not true, which is what they always do.
So he asked the question, what do you think, what is the end game? Have you done any research into that? Do you have an idea what the end game is? Have you, as an anti-vaxxer, have you looked into it?
The thing is, I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
No, I know. I'm just using their term. Yeah. I'm just being...
I'm a lot more skeptical and concerned about vaccines than I was before all this. I'll say that, but yep. I'm not, I'm somebody that's always gotten vaccinated with all the other traditional.
By the way, I'm now a vaccine abolitionist. That's an actual movement that was around 100 years ago when they first started doing all this stuff, injecting cowpox serum into human beings. There was a whole anti-vaccine abolitionist league that has come and gone.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I wasn't as aware of as I am now that maybe I didn't pay as much attention to, things like autism and things like that.
Right.
I'm sorry, repeat your question again. What
do you think the end game is? You heard Fred say, well, what does he think they're doing? Is it just for Big Pharma to make money or what is the end game?
I'm not really 100% sure. But obviously money is a big part of it. Yeah. Obviously. I mean, why else would you have kids, but what I also I'm not going to say 100% that it's the case. But I will say that I'm concerned that they're actually trying to cull the population.
Yeah, for sure.
I really am worried about that because it does, money is obvious again.
Yeah, but they print the money. So why would they need the money? If they control the money, if they issue the money, why would they need money? See that?
And why is it like it's international,
Exactly.
I am very concerned that it really is about culling the herd.
It's about culling the herd. And see, the information is actually out there. Yeah, the information is out there for him to for them to not know at this point. It's been 2 years. Everyone's had 2 years of extra time to do the research.
And they're pea heads. They're pea heads.
Yeah, exactly. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, all the biggest corporations, the Bilderbergers, Davos, they've all told us what the plan is. They think humans are the scourge of the earth. So they are going to institute a passport control system to control your every move, right down to you will not be able to go more than 3 miles away from where you live. This is the level of control. There'll be no more air travel. Yeah, there'll be more gasoline, combustible cars, because they've convinced everyone that this is what humans use to ruin their Mother Earth Gaia. So that is the end game. And that if that is not hard to figure out, it's all out there. They've put all this information out there. They're on Twitter. They put videos out. So it's the end game. the Trojan horse to get you into the system is the vaccine, because you would never agree to that level of control unless, of course, your life was threatened, your health was threatened. If you don't take this thing, you're going to die. If you don't take it every 3 months.
Or you're not, or, you know, I love it when they say that we, in fact, they said it on the show. Oh, you have a choice, Brandon. You have a choice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's
I have a choice. I can either take this thing or I can lose everything I've worked for.
Exactly.
Now I chose to cash out and get the heck out of there before it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, and so in a sense, I do have a choice, but that's not much of a choice.
It is not a choice. It's a Sophie's choice. You can, Sophie's choice was take this child or take this child. You can only keep one child. You have to make a choice. Sophie's choice. It's an impossible choice.
It kills me, though, that regular, you know, normally very honest, decent, logical people will tell you that you have a choice. It's just crazy to me that people just by being on the other side of the argument, they can just dismiss all, you know, the other side's concerns completely. How can you dismiss that? How can you not see that your neighbor is going through this kind of turmoil? I'm not going to say that I'm surprised, because this has happened throughout history, this type of behavior. Yeah. But it's disturbing.
It is very disturbing. Do you want to hear any more of their reaction, or do you want to end maybe on a couple dog questions? Because, of course.
Okay, I would love to end on a dog. Would you mind if I use the restroom real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we're going to end the show anyway shortly, because we've been going almost an hour and a half. But go ahead.
It's going to be a single for your audience. It's a single. It's not a deuce.
Oh, okay, right, number one. Number one, everybody. Oh, this has been a different show, guys. Thanks for asking so many questions. I got 14 people in, mostly YouTube. I think I should just stop using Twitch and DLive, even Facebook. Nobody uses those systems. Everyone's on YouTube. So I hope you've enjoyed this different type of show. I was going to play a little more of the reaction show, but there's no point unless he's listening. But what I did, obviously, is I brought somebody who isn't a fakeologist, but he was brought into the area like everyone. Like, we're getting regular type people that are being drawn into the truth community because everyone has to make a decision on what's going on. Everyone has to form a position on this. I thought this guest was interesting, and Brandon's been actually very interesting. He's actually a very intelligent person. And he's got a lot of information, a lot of life experience. And every now and then I like to just bring people that are not fakeologists into the show and just give them a little bit of truth, a little bit of extra truth. And
okay, sorry.
You're back. Did you want to hear a little more of the? They only go for a couple more minutes. Let's listen to a bit.
Your little part of the world. What do you actually think they're up to? What is the end game for these for these people that are controlling us all?
Well, I had a similar experience. There was a couple times yesterday. I thought, I wish in the heat of the moment, it switched from, you know, the dog interview, and we were wrapping it up, if you haven't heard it. Mm-hmm. But it switched so quickly I thought it was nice when Dan said he admired the way that we didn't go crazy on the guy, but it took me a couple seconds, and I think you too. I could sort of see it in your eyes, like, oh, where we go now, we've got somebody. And it took a minute for us to, I think, catch up to what was going on, and also to decide, you know, without talking to one another, how we were going to handle it.
You know, there's a fine line with this. It's like when we had Bruce Dobigan on when you were away. He's vaccinated. He's not an anti-vaxxer. It's just he doesn't believe in mandates, and he's not about to tell his children they have to get, who are of age, to get the vaccine. Well, that's hard to argue with because, again, he's not an anti-vaxxer, but then I can't tell somebody how they should think. And even with him yesterday, it's a fine line. It's okay, you don't want to get, you're willing to give everything up because you don't want to get a vaccine, but don't start spewing out these incorrect facts, because it's damaging and it's hurtful and it's dangerous. So, you know, you got to attack him for that. I mean, you can't attack somebody for how they feel. Or
he's accusing you of giving incorrect facts, yet his facts are equally as incorrect. No doubt. It's more of a point of view. And
here's the other thing. It shows you how much they were listening. I told them that I got vaccinated.
That's true. I actually missed that. I know I thought you said that, but that.
Yeah, I got vaccinated, but after seeing how things have been handled since,
yep.
I've realized that I don't want to go forward anymore. That is what I said very clearly.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I mean it's absurd.
Talk about and they were criticizing you for cherry picking, but of course they're cherry picking as well.
A decision they've made. You know what I'm saying? It's so you sit here and you go, okay, you know, I got to pick my spots here, and I've got to be level headed about this, or I just sound like an idiot. As much of an idiot as he does, you know?
Yeah. I thought we handled it well. We didn't get excited too much. And, you know, it didn't turn into a giant, you know, screaming match like Chris Sky. It sort of surprised me, because if you remember how it turned,
right,
is I asked him about, well, why are you retiring? You seem like a young man. You're only, you know, 48 years old. I was really surprised when he comes back with, you know, I'm quitting my job and moving to Ohio. Mm-hmm. What?
Did you ever say you're moving to Ohio? Because I didn't hear that in the original audio.
No, you didn't, I didn't.
You didn't say that. I didn't. I didn't think so.
You're doing what with who?
I was formulating all this stuff in my mind. Hey, great to be a public servant, eh? 20 years, 25 years, and you're out. Way to go, pal.
I honestly,
because he's a cop.
No, and that's where I was sort of getting to. Like, do you get early retirement because of your job? And then saying that he had, like, all that stuff. And that was what I thought later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we kind of, I don't know that we got a chance to make that point. When he spoke about, you know, oh, my grandma, she died of COVID, or died, and they said she had COVID, and somehow the hospital got money for it. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just such a, it's just unbelievable. It's like everyone's, what is it? When everyone says they were there at the first day of exhibition.
How he can blow that off? Like, that is.
That's what I was thinking too. What are you, a fucking moron?
Yeah, like that is such an obvious, crazy idea that they paid for the funeral. I mean, just the idea that is crazy that happens, but that is happening. Yeah. You said it happened to you.
Yeah, it's happening in a lot of. Yeah. But that goes to show you, you know, if you can listen to I guess technically I'm a second hand account,
right?
It came from your cousin, but. If you can listen to somebody that's had direct experience with that and just disregard it, you're clearly in denial. You're not looking.
Absolutely.
You're not looking at this reasonably. So thanks for. I'm actually glad you played that for me, because it makes me realize just how. You know. Well, I mean, I already did, but it left a sour taste in my mouth. I was bummed out about it.
Hey, what did your publicity agent say about it? They must have given you feedback.
Yeah, she did. She told me, you know, in the future, just fib. You know, tell them like you're moving because your wife's job or something. You know, you're not there to talk about that. You're there to push your book.
That's true.
You know, and they hijacked that from you. And I absolutely agree with her. But again, the way I was thinking is, you know what? Screw it.
There you went for it.
But as you can see, the whole thing is, you know, I have these. I will say that one thing, the comment that I made that I realized that I had, the stat that I gave out, I believe was wrong, was that only, I said the 20,000 did not have comorbidities out of the whatever,
800,000, whatever. Which is the total death.
I think it's actually closer to 30,000.
Right.
But even so, you know, it's, you know, obviously the number isn't what they're saying it is.
There's nothing you could have said. There's nothing you could have said.
That's right. And that, yeah. And that was the whole thing. When I was done, I was like, you know what? I hate this whole, you know, I'm trying to, again, buy my book. You'll feel better after you read it. you know, I was trying to push this beautiful book about Dirty Benny saying would be interested to hear Brandon address what is the
yeah,
warning.
You can do that.
But yeah, definitely. We'll get there. I want to address that because that is why, you know, that was why I wrote the book.
Yeah.
You know, and they turned it into this ugly thing. And honestly, they weren't, you know, they say they're being honest, but I think they're basically paralyzed by cognitive dissonance.
Absolutely. That's correct.
You know, and I, you know, they're dog lovers. They related to my story, at least, you know, the pitch about my story. So, you know, these are things that are beautiful, human, spiritual things. They're not bad people. No. You know, they're arrogant.
Mass psychosis. They're lost in mass psychosis.
I would say they're arrogant.
Yeah. And it's a comedy show.
Yeah, it's a kind of, I would say, you know, that the way they handled me was very condescending and I would say that it was far from perfect, but it doesn't mean they're bad people. And I wish them well, and I hope that they, you know, I doubt they'll ever look at my book because now they think somehow that I'm an idiot or something like that. But, you know, like I said, we're all on this spiritual journey trying to learn our lessons, but it's sad. It's just, there's so many people like them that are just so willing to just accept the media line and, you know, and just go along and they ignore what's in front of them. I think one of the advantages that I have though, is that one, I work in law enforcement. So I've seen, you know, I'm out. I've never gotten to take a break. I've never gotten to work from home. I've never stopped working, and I've seen how things are out there from the start. So I think I have a little bit more. I'm not in a bubble. You know what I mean?
You're working with the public. You see more of life. Yeah. You see.
I'm not going along with what the. I'm not going by what the media is telling me is happening. I'm seeing it.
You're seeing it. Yeah.
You know? So I do have an advantage there, but. You still, though, when they keep moving the goalposts, every time they say it's going to, you do this and it'll be this, it never is that. It's always something else. It's like last year, I'll never forget this. The town that I live in, it's got this, well, won't be living in for long. The town I'm moving from has this beautiful downtown area. And we were at a restaurant, my wife and I, going out to dinner, which we hadn't been able to do in a long time because of the lockdowns. And we were having to eat outside, you know, it's in December and we're eating outside.
That's BS.
But our server, Gavin Newsom had decided to do another lockdown. And this was on a Saturday night and the lockdown was supposed to go into effect on Sunday. And first off, that's absurd. If it's that dire, you do it now. You don't wait until Sunday. And secondly, we're so sorry, you know, to the server. And he was practically in tears. He was so frustrated with the situation. And, you know, it didn't make any sense because the lockdowns hadn't worked before. Why are you doing it now? There's other parts of the country where they're not locking down and they're about the same as we are. Why are you doing this? You know,
but we
it's like,
do.
And
but
so
we
how can I see that and not think that there's something off.
Yeah, you would have to be completely dense. And I enjoy listening to what these guys do because I think they represent the majority, unfortunately. And I have a lot of exposure to people due to my job is way more isolated. And when I hear them rationalizing every crazy diktat from these health people, It's the ultimate in cognitive dissonance. Listening to them rationalize, okay, well, we can do this, we can't do that. It does seem a little strange, but it's for the greater good. Like they just keep rationalizing it, and that's where I go crazy listening to it because I know what the end game is because I've done a little bit of research. I know they want to get this digital passport in 100% of the population. They can't get it any other way than to scare the hell out of people to think they're going to die, and they have to get them plugged into this system so they can control people and can control and inventorize every single person resource on the entire planet. It's an awesome goal.
And kill a bunch of them while doing it.
Exactly. That means if they want to think they can cure all disease or common colds using an injection, then that's their end game as well. It's a ridiculous concept if you know the nature of illness. It's never going to work. But that also is part of it. It's multidimensional. If you have everyone under a spell, you can do whatever you want with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening. I agree with you.
And we need America to save us. If America falls, the world will fall.
America's not going to fall.
All right. Well, then I'll head down.
I'm nervous too. But I don't believe it. I don't think we're going to fall.
I hope not.
I still think that America might end up looking differently.
It will.
I'm not sure. Still, I'm still not sold that it's going to stay the same in terms of the way that, you know, states and how they're currently represented and all that stuff. But
yes, I agree.
Again, I go back to the Second Amendment. Yeah, I said two necks. Let's go, Brandon. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, right. I
haven't been. I haven't been so proud of my name in a long time. Well, ever. You know,
isn't that the ultimate in cognitive dissonance where that reporter said, oh, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. It's so obvious. They're not saying that.
I hope it, you know, I'd like to believe it was cognitive dissonance.
But why would she say that? It was such an obvious, again, up is down, black is white. Come on. Yeah. You can't be deaf. You're a young woman. You really think that's what they're saying? I thought it was hilarious that she just, that to me was a flat out lie, but yeah.
Maybe she was just so in the moment that she was, you know, so in the context of him winning the race that she.
Yeah, right. How could you not hear that?
Yeah. I don't know. I've got the t-shirt. I've got the Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. I've got the bumper sticker. I have to wait till I move before I can put it on my car. Cause if I put it on in the.
Yeah. You have your tires slashed. Yeah, no, that is amazing. The number of children that are going to be named Brandon this year is probably going to be off the charts.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it's going to
be.
Right.
I didn't even thought about that, but you're right.
That's how many people name their children after whatever the pop culture name of the day is. So for sure,
I think when I in my elementary school, I remember being a little bit like. A little self-conscious about my name because I was the only person in my school with the name Brandon. Everybody else, you know, there's a lot of Johns, Brians,
right.
Mikes.
Traditional,
And, you know, I was a Brandon. My brand name's so unusual. You know, of course, I was young and didn't.
Yeah, I know. It's tough when you have a slightly.
I liked it for a long time, but you know,
now it's in vogue.
What a great thing.
So why don't we end with more dog talk, because that's how we found you, and we had at least one or two questions about that. So if you want to address that, I'm not a dog owner. I used to have my mother had a cat. I'm highly asthmatic and highly allergic, and I have no animals in this house just so I can breathe. And by the way, all allergies and asthma are vaccine damage from youth, just so you know. According to my research,
I've heard that recently.
Yeah, it's not
that's
good.
Something I had ever thought
skin
about.
Skin disease, eczema, type 1 diabetes. You know, all these unknown diseases, the ones they say we need billions of dollars to research. They know what causes them.
And it, you know, honestly, before all this, I would have thought you were kooky.
Yeah.
I don't think that anymore.
Well, I never thought of it either. I knew vaccines at the most did nothing, and at the worst. Hurt people. Now I'm convinced they're the cause of almost all modern disease because they've been injecting people for over 100 years and poisoning people, and it's disgusting. And the only good part about this is their Hail Mary, because the vaccine uptake was going down because more people were getting access to information, especially mama bears. They were really looking into it. And they just said, listen, we're either going to drop vaccines completely or everyone's got to get one. So this is their Hail Mary. I hope it fails, because if this fails, all vaccines should be eliminated, made illegal. people should realize, if you don't want this so-called vaccine and you do look into it a little bit, you'll realize that there's no such thing as a safe vaccine, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. If the gig is up, it's over. And yeah. How many people are going to become healthy newborns? That it's crazy.
Well, watch for a huge increase. If I was young right now, I would, not 48 still young, but if I was starting my career and going into school, I would, and then I'm going to encourage my daughter, I would go into naturopathy.
Right.
You know, acupuncture, chiropractic, you know, that type of medicine, yeah. Because I really, not that.
Well, a lot Western of it's been captured. Naturopathy has been captured by Big Pharma, according to Amanda Vollmer. She took a degree in naturopathy. She was 10 or 15 years ago when she was going through it. She already saw the influence of Big Pharma. They were already sinking their tentacles into it and infiltrating it and destroying it. So it's
well, and energy healing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm an energy healer.
I saw on your thing it said Reiki, and I thought, wow, if they read your profile, they would probably know that anyone that is into alternative medicine possibly looked into vaccines and the nature of them. So it's
But I think there's going to be a huge increase in alternative medicine over the next 20 years, you know. I think it's inevitable. It's which is really a good thing. I'm excited about it. I just wish that I was young enough to, you know, to capitalize on it. I'm not going to go through the expense and time of medical school to start over again.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah. Just fight the good fight now. But did you want to talk a little bit? So have you talked enough?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He asked what the role of dogs and humans are in this plane. Was that?
Yes.
There was something. Like yeah. that. Well, I think, let's just think about this question. I think humans and, you know, dogs, cats, animals, first off, they all have a soul. I'll tell you that much. They all have different roles that they play, but they all have a soul. And It just depends on who you are, you know, what you're doing. Like for me, I don't know. I guess my role I've been told I'm a protector, you know, protectors are usually, you know, doctors or police officers, firefighters, things like that, which I always kind of felt pulled that way. And ultimately I ended up in that field. My dog Tyson was put on this earth. You know, he came to open hearts, you know, so I think, whether you're human or animal, you have an important role to play. It's just, you know, it's just you're in a different body, you know, and you're going to work within that the constraints of that body. I think there's humans that are spiritually very far evolved, and then there's humans that are maybe not so much so. And I think animals probably are the same, but I think dogs, honestly, I think dogs are special, man. And cats too, especially the domesticated ones that are here to have relationships with humans. Because, I mean, if you think about it, if you look at your dog, the beauty of your relationship with your dog or your cat, but especially with the dog is that it's unconditional. You know, they love you no matter what, and it creates a relationship where you have no ulterior motives towards them. All you want to do is love them and care for them, and they feel the same way about you. It's a relationship where your guard is completely down and it's pure, and it makes it safe for a human to completely open their heart and love completely. And that is soul enrichment, and that makes a big impact on how people interact with the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, animals, you know, a lot of people want to say, okay, well, you're a dog. What do you do? You're a cattle dog. You're a canine dog. You're a guard dog, whatever. Well, you know, everything has their, the cats are useless.
Hey, I love
cats. I'm partial to dogs, but cats can be really awesome too.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, they really do play an important role on a soul level, you know, and if you, as a human, open yourself up to them, you'll get that out of it. You know, I think, you know, like if you're somebody who's like a farmer, something like that, where you've been conditioned to look at animals as a tool, you know, obviously it's going to be harder for you to see them that way. It's hard to, especially if you're, you know, a livestock farm, you know, cattle farmer or chicken farmer or whatever, you can't really open your heart to them because you're going to kill them. Right. I mean, but even if you're a farmer who, like we have, there's a person in my family who's a cattle rancher and he has dogs that he absolutely loves. And, you know, and some of them are cattle dogs that are working dogs, but he loves them too. But I think for a lot of people like that, they look at them more as a tool than as a, you know, as a soulmate. But for me personally, I have been blessed enough to have the experience of having a dog that is a soulmate. And actually in my case, I've had more than one.
But this dog was different than the others, do you think, in this particular case, or are they all unique?
Well, what I will say is Tyson was, he was definitely very special and powerful, powerful soul. But the thing is, you know, I still have a relationship.
Do you think human souls are recycled through animals? Did you?
You mean like where you live as an animal and then you?
Yeah, reincarnation. My friend, one of the members of Fakeologists, has recalled the story that he thinks his mother or his grandmother keeps coming back as a raven and
terrorizing him.
Well, actually, in a good way. It was interesting. Yeah, he recalled the story a couple times where he thinks that this person or his mother or grandmother comes back as the raven just to show that she's still watching over him. Obviously, a raven's not a pet, but a raven's one of the smartest birds. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're cunning, all right. You know, my feeling on it. I mean, you hear different takes on it. My feeling on it is that we can do both. You know, I think so. I think you can be a human and then be an animal in another life. I think you can be an animal and be a human in another life. If you're a soul with certain things that you know, knowledge and characteristics and things that you're trying to learn and pass on as a soul. Mm-hmm. And I think when you come into a life or into a body, obviously the constraints that you have on you in this earthly life is going to be constrained by what form you take. So, you know, if you're a dog, clearly you're not going to have the intellectual ability of a human, but that doesn't mean that you can't on a soul level have just as profound of an impact, as you would as a human and vice versa. That's my take on it. I think, and in fact, there's a spiritual medium that I've worked with, that she's very, very talented. And in fact, she's in my book, Lisa Silverman, and she believes that her dad reincarnated as one of her dogs.
Right.
And so I do, I absolutely believe in, you know, I don't think that they're lesser than or more than. I just think that they play a different role, you know? And I think honestly, full disclosure, I saw something about, you know, are you, you know, as if you're a meat eater, you know, something like that. And I do eat meat, and sometimes I do have, you know, I do have some moral issues with it, particularly when it's I won't eat pork anymore because they're so intelligent. I just can't do it.
Right. I love
but that. I do, but that, you know, doesn't necessarily, I believe that souls are eternal and when you die, your body dies, but you don't die. You know, you move on to the next thing. And I think that livestock are here to play a certain role, you know, and when they've played the role, they move on to the next thing. You know, I think we as humans, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed, like I know vegans that just look unhealthy, you know, like
they, yeah. But I've seen vegans that look okay.
Me too.
We never know anyone's health profile. We just don't know their total makeup. We don't know how they live their life. We don't know anything about them. They just say they're vegan, but that's only one tiny dimension of them. So
but my point is that, you know, we physically, you know, for some people, being a vegetarian or a vegan is not going to work.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily make them, like, I used to get awful headaches. Like, if I don't get a certain amount of protein and stuff, that's just the way my body is. I've got a lot of, you know, I've got fast twitch muscle and it just, you know, for me, I have to be real careful about what I eat and the breakdown of protein, fats, carbs, you know, that sort of thing. And so I don't think that makes them bad necessarily. But
I'm a meat eater. You don't have to argue.
But I respect people that are vegan. I respect people that are vegetarians, and I get it. I think people.
There are quite a few foodie movies, though. The some of the movies you watch when you're researching truth, and when you see what happens in these CAFOs, confined animal feed operations. You do not want to eat any of this food, and you realize that it is the source of a lot of toxic toxemia and poison in the atmosphere from these completely unnatural food operations, which is where we get most of our meat. So it was difficult to eat chicken or anything after watching what we do to these animals. We don't even allow them to live even partially naturally because it's all in optimization of profits.
I'm not for that at all. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not like that. You know, I think that's horrific. You know, like we try to eat organic as much as we can. And, but like for example, where I work, the park district, you know, there's open space cattle ranchers that lease land and those cattle, at least, you know, they have good lives while they're alive, you know, while they're out there and they spend their whole life out in these beautiful settings with lots of grass to eat and they're peaceful and everything, you know? So if I'm honest, I do feel compassion for them, you know, when I'm driving by them. And, you know, it's one of those things.
It's a lot easier to eat an animal that you don't kill with your own hands. I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you don't honor them too, I think if you don't appreciate the sacrifice, then you're missing it.
Yeah.
That's to say the least, you know.
So, cows are beautiful, says Jerry.
What's that?
Cows are beautiful.
I agree. They are. I agree.
All right. Well, this has been an interesting show. I don't normally have shows like this, but every now and then I like to practice my interview skills and do something different. And when I do feel that like someone was slighted or insulted, I always contact different people I watch on different shows. And I just thought you were particularly targeted and it was quite egregious. And I thought it was wrong. And I thought I'd reach out. Did anyone else contact you in any way?
No, nobody has. I wonder if I'm going to see a bigger spike in sales than I normally would, you know, after that. And I wouldn't be surprised if I did. But I got to tell you, I really appreciate, when I saw your email last night, it really, you know, I really appreciated it.
I thought it was
really thoughtful. And because, you know, I mean, I didn't let it like take away my resolve or it didn't make me feel like I insecure about my stance on anything, but it felt shitty, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, and these people, it's always these people, they need to realize what they're doing is hurting people. And, really they got to read some basic Dr. Seuss books, like go read the Sneetches and realize what you're doing, what you're targeting. The thing is,
they believe that I'm the bad guy. You know, they believe that they're in the camp of, you know, like the people that believe that if you post something on Facebook that disagrees with them, that you should have your voice silenced because it's dangerous to have an alternative point of view. They really believe that. It's scary. It's scary, but I don't think they think of it as malicious or wrong. You know,
Well, they need to know. And then the people that think like you and me, we're not stupid. Actually, we're actually smarter. And I think this is one way of sorting out the intelligent people from the stupid people. I'm sorry. Maybe
that's what they're doing. Survival of the fittest.
Absolutely. And that's what the Soviets did that, I think, in the Bolshevik Revolution. They sorted out the intelligent from the masses, and masses is a communist term. So they really wanted to sort the wheat from the chaff. And anyone that I know that is adamant against getting the injection, I know for sure they've thought about this. They're not just, it's not reaction, because now we are being pressured, coerced, bribed in the worst way. So now I know anyone that is a vaccine abolitionist is probably one of the smartest people out there right now. Anywhere.
Well, the thing is, you're taking a chance. I mean, there is risk, a certain level of risk involved in not taking the vaccine, because supposedly it does actually cut down. I mean,
not in my world. I mean,
probably not. You know, not like you said, the statistics being manipulated. But for people that maybe haven't gotten that far into it, you know, they've determined that there's too much contradiction, and that they're gonna take an alternative approach. You know.
The risk is being persecuted by the majority that is suffering from mass psychosis. That, to me, is the only risk, and that you are going to be so ostracized and screwed by the society. And it's
I agree with you, but
it's definitely going to hurt your mental health, and it's tough. And that's why I do this show. It's almost like a therapy session. Like, I like to reach out to people like you that are more on board than the average person. And it helps hearing people that are on the edge, and I like to sort of maybe pull them over to my side a little bit more, because the propaganda machine working for the bad guys has unlimited resources. We're talking trillions of dollars. It's never happened before. So
thanks to Lost Spider Phallus.
Yes, he's a California guy. He's,
I like his name
in
too.
LA. Yeah. No, we got a great listenership here. We got regulars, and I don't even know half the people that listen to the podcast, because that obviously that's anonymous. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to pull this, like I do all my shows, off YouTube, because anytime you're talking about any of this information, they just strike the channel. So you won't find any of these shows on YouTube. That's why I created my own video platform called FakoTube. So you can find it on FakoTube if you want. So, it was a good show. I hope that you get at least one or two sales of your book. I don't know how.
I promise you, if you're an animal person, you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. Or even if you just, you know, want to contemplate life after death.
Yeah, and if you're listening and not watching this video, the book is called Tyson's Gift. The website is tysonsgift.com. No relation to the chicken processor, the meat processor in the United States. When I hear Tyson, that's all I think about is Tyson's
meat. Yeah.
That's a huge operation. But Tyson's Gift is the book. The author's name that we're interviewing and we've talked to tonight is Brandon Wainwright. I brought him on because he was treated poorly by another normie show that I listened to. And I thought, boy, let's just show him there are other people out here that actually thought he did well. He was treated poorly. And there's more to the story than even he probably knows. And,
you know, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I'm just glad I'm not completely asleep, you know?
Yeah, well, some people think it's actually you're worse off knowing what the truth is. We might be better. People might be better off in their delusions, not having any idea what's next.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, ignorance is bliss.
It probably is, but it's too late for us. We already know. We already have a clue, and we have a curiosity.
Yeah.
So we're over the edge.
Hey, you know what? I got to say, I really enjoyed this conversation too. I really had fun.
Yeah, it was great.
If you ever want to have me back again, feel free, you know.
Well, actually, I have no problem having you back if you have anything to in addition to say, if you go further in your truth journey. I'm still looking for escape routes as well. There are quite a few fakeologists in Florida. I know one guy is building a compound down near Lake Okeechobee. There's a ton of fakeologists in Florida. And if there was ever a meetup, I would definitely go. And it's either hill country in Texas or Florida for me. I've been to, my in-laws used to live in Naples. And I thought...
That's where I'm at, Florida.
I thought, I could see myself living in a double wide down in Naples. It would be a very basic life. I could probably go golfing, and it doesn't cost that much. You could back in the day, you could put a double wide trailer on your Visa card. They're really cheap. But
I'll tell you what, from what I've seen so far, because like I said, we're down here looking for a house, but the people are, it's a very different world down here. I mean,
I know, and the governor seems like I don't trust any politician, even DeSantis, but he's making more sense than almost anyone else at this time. So
yeah, I think, you know, I think he's really trying to make a difference. And I think the thing is, I think most people, this is my theory anyway, I hope I'm right. Most people that are moving to Florida are coming here. You know, it used to be like California. People would leave California not because they wanted to get out of California, because California, you know, the weather's beautiful. Where we live in the Bay Area, the weather's phenomenal. It's beautiful. A whole very diverse landscapes. It used to be this great place where, you know, very accepting of all backgrounds and that sort of thing. But people didn't leave for that. They left because they wanted to be able to buy some property, and it was so expensive. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think a lot of people are leaving because they can't take the politics anymore. They can't take the stupidity of the politicians and the policies. And I think my feeling is that that's why, if you're coming to Florida now, at least, I think that's why you're coming here.
Yeah.
You're coming here not only because it's maybe a little bit less expensive than where you're from, but also because you want to get to some place where you're free. And because of that, I think probably the vast majority of the people coming here, or at least, you know, moderates, but they're not hardcore lefties. So I have high hopes for the state that it's going to stay this way even after DeSantis isn't in office anymore, because I think, so the voters will continue to elect people that have some common sense. Because they last week they signed into law, the vaccine mandates are illegal in Florida now. And that's not an executive order. That's an actual mandate
that's an actual law that was passed by the legislature. Law,
yeah. Yeah. It's, they still have, you know, a company can require it and then have testing as an alternative. But they can't just say, you know, either get the test or you're out, or even that you have to have a religious exemption or a medical exemption. They simply can't require you to get it without having a testing option,
that's more than most places. Yeah. You have to be grateful for small mercies, and that might be a small mercy. I really don't understand how anyone is going to get out from underneath this world takeover, because it's worldwide. And I just think everyone's on a different timeline. I know where I live, it's on the fast track.
I think it's going to be very different here. I mean, I hope you're right. Too optimistic, but I think again, it comes back to the Second Amendment. I think if you tried to do that to people here, you'd have a full-on war on your hands. And people try to say this is, you know, I have to say, when I was the second, I've always been pro Second Amendment.
Guys. Yeah, me too.
But that said, I mostly thought of it in terms of self-defense. I didn't think of it so much in terms of protection against a hostile government until this case. But you know, I'll hear people say, oh yeah, like you're going to stop the army with your AR-15 or something. Like, well, you know what? You have enough people armed and willing to fight, and you know, you're damn right you're gonna have a they're gonna be able to stop an army. They yeah. would. And so I just don't think, I think there might be places in our country that get, you know, it's possible that maybe you have like California, I'd hate to see it, but it, you know, it's possible it could get, you know, annexed or something by another country, or it, or we have some kind of a split in terms of how the states are, you know, where states maybe become more like a country, independent countries, or that they're, you know, there's two different United States or something crazy yeah, like that.
Definitely split up.
I mean, who knows what could happen, but I just don't see it. Not without a full on, like, it would have to be World War III in order for that to happen. And I don't think they want that necessarily, you know.
Yeah.
I hope they don't know what they want. But I Something's could be naive. I'm an optimist by nature. So.
Well, it's good. It's a good way to be. It's hard to be. It really depends on where you are. That really depends your outlook. Where I am, it's a lot different. I'd have a different view if I was in Florida, because number one, the sun would be shining and changing my attitude completely. Where right now we're in quite a bit of gray and darkness and cold and damp and wet here, so all that changes your perspective. So,
but yeah, anyway, no, that's true. And you know, honestly, being in the Bay Area is like that.
Yes, you do have
shout
gray.
Out to Dirty Benny again for all the positive comments he made tonight.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, in the Bay Area, it's real easy to get really kind of into the weeds and feel horrible. But coming to Florida, you see that there's a whole other world out there. So, hey man, come down and visit me sometime. We'll go out and have a coffee.
Hey, I can't leave Canada right now because your federal government is requiring, I don't know what the hell they're requiring to get over the border. So, I don't know how, I don't know what, I'm going to probably
you're,
have to just,
you're a citizen though, right?
Yeah, but I'd want to bring my wife and children, so they're not. So there would be troubles, I'm sure. So, I don't know. I will definitely, Florida's definitely on the top of my list for many, many, many reasons. So we'll have to,
you know, stay in touch. I'll tell you how it is, because I'm at the, in the pioneer stage of Florida right now.
Yeah. Well, I have many offers. Like I said, one of the members is down building a compound in Lake Okeechobee area. It's sort of a rural area. He's going to have animals on his property, all kinds of things. He's ready to be self-sufficient. So, and I have a friend, Uncle Laud, he's down in Tampa. So yeah. And Forest Valley is in Miami. Mike is in Miami. Another guy's in Fort Pierce. I know people all over the place, so it's definitely a great state for that kind of thing. That kind of people, those kind of people like you. So, yeah, this has been a good call. But we got to wrap it up because I got to go to bed. So
I'm right there with you.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me on. You know,
yeah.
Thanks for letting me kind of speak my piece and.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Send it to. Dumble and Dread, they can see this as a follow-up if they're interested in all and a little bit of feedback. So, yeah, well, anyone who's on this call, send the link to those guys and show, hey, there's another side
send
of every story.
Send the pee heads.
Yeah, it's from the pee heads. Yeah, we're stupid. We're stupid for looking up all this stuff and getting a greater understanding of the big picture. And guess what? Yeah. They're going to be affected by it too, and injection or not. That's not going to have make any difference because it's got nothing to do with the virus, buddy. That's what's happening.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
All right. 100%. Well, yeah. Thanks for joining and have a great night.
Hey, you too. Take good care, huh?
All right. You too, man. Take care, okay. Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Yeah. Let's go, me.